Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in here. We got a full 5 hours of sports here. We'll be scoreboard watching. A lot of stuff coming in from Cowboys practice. General at your service. There is brought us the former Cowboys scout, the Super Bowl champion himself, Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing for maybe one plus flawless. He's got a bird to catch to Vegas. He's heading out there with Hagee. Going to cover the fight for us this weekend on Netflix. That is exciting. The fight is in the air. Wolchuk and Schiaffalo are reunited. Feels good. Wolchuk's, you're feeling good. Are you looking good? Or are you feeling good, I guess?
Yeah. We're pretty much almost back to full strength now. So right, it's just a little bit of a lingering cough, some stuffiness, but it's way better than I was Monday.
How does somebody get COVID?
Like, it's still going around. Honestly, I think my wife gave it to me.
Really?
She was sick last week, and I think she probably passed. I mean, who knows? Our kids are in preschool.
It's crazy when you said you tested positive. I thought, man, that's so 2020.
Yeah, they gave me the flu and the COVID test. And the test is much easier than it used to be. I was nervous. I was like, are you going to have to go all the way up into the brain?
Yeah.
It's not as bad. It was just kind of like a swabbing of the nose. And then the doctor came right back in. We're talking 10 minutes later and said, like, so how you feeling? I was like, not good. She said, yeah, well, you got COVID. Like, oh, my God.
Would you say the worst part of it these days is the body chills and
absolutely,
the body aches?
It was I was like waking up in sweats. Then all of a sudden now you got the chills. That was the worst part of it.
Running to the restroom when you know you're going to be having that chill feeling is just, it's the worst. Awful. You feel like you got to stay in there buried, then you're sweating, you're going back and forth.
There was no reprieve from it, really.
It's good to see you back, buddy. I was looking forward to your thoughts yesterday on Jadeveon Clowney. Saw some of that on social. So we'll pick up that conversation as well. You got Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. It's Javier against Gausman here, starting in about 5 minutes up there in Toronto. Blue Jays a -165 favorite with the Astros a couple of games ahead of the Rangers. That's a big one there. Rangers have the day off. They'll be in New York over the weekend. That means a 5:30 pregame for us tomorrow, just to sort of set your schedule here, Rangers fans. I know you're on the edge of your seats just like the rest of us, wondering if a September surge is on the cards. Used to be a September swoon. When I first got here, excited about the Rangers in 2010, and our program director at the time, the late, great Tom Bigby, was like, man, they're not going to do anything. Just wait for the September swoon. And that year it was the first in a while that they did not fall back in that final month of the season and set a new trend. Hopefully this Rangers team can continue that on. But that pregame tomorrow at 5:30, and then in Houston early next week. Brian, you were saying the pregame Monday is at 6?
I think it's 6:30, I think is what we got. I was just looking at the schedule, and I think the further I got down, I think it's like the 6:30, 6:25, 6:30. So I think it's normal for us.
Okay, so 6:30 pregame on Monday with the first pitch at 7 o'clock. As the Rangers begin the day 2.5 back, 1.5 back again of the Mariners. Houston's going to be finishing up in Toronto. The news yesterday, Luis Garcia came back after 28 months following Tommy John for Houston, and he got hurt again. So that's unfortunate for them. Don't want to laugh at injuries, but he's probably shut down after just a couple of starts. He's going on the 15-day IL there for Houston. So they are treading water hard, and they're panicking. They are in panic mode down there, thinking there's no way we just about led this thing from the start of the season to now, outside of those first couple of hot weeks for the Rangers, and they might be able to kick it away. So an opportunity to laugh at the misfortune of your rival. There's nothing better than watching your rival choke down the stretch of a baseball season because you get updates on it on a regular basis. But you have Thursday Night Football tonight, guys.
It's a good one.
How fired up are you for Commanders visiting Packers? Can Washington get this done? Who do we want to win?
That's what I'm saying, because Sean and RJ, I was listening to them driving over to the studio today, and they were having a discussion of, like, who do you want to win this game? Do you want the Commanders or do you want the Packers?
Probably the Packers. I guess you always, this early in the season, you're always just rooting for your division rival to lose.
Easy. Yeah, if the Commanders win, your playoff chances, I think, are going to take a hit because Green Bay is a really good team. Good. If they can go up there and win, I think it makes a strong statement that Washington is somehow for real.
Play them twice.
Yeah.
You play Washington twice.
Yeah. But if Washington wins, now Green Bay's win against Detroit, a little shine comes off that, and you can imagine maybe they won't be a 12, 13, freaking 14-win team that I'm anticipating at this point.
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, dude.
I'm kind of looking at the draft pick myself.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
That's a good point.
Especially
Packers take the L.
Especially if you don't feel like that you're. Now, I think after the Philadelphia game and what we saw, just in week one, if you want to knee-jerk this thing, maybe the Commanders aren't that great. Maybe the Eagles aren't that great either. You know, maybe this thing's a little bit more wide open than I wanted to believe. But if you're thinking it's wide open, then you probably want, you'd say, go ahead and let Green Bay win. That's fine. But, you know, but I'm also thinking about the draft pick. But I'm
draft
also,
pick's probably more important than playoff chances in the big picture.
In the big picture it is, yeah. but I also think you're playing Washington twice. So you could kind of take care of that situation. I mean, if you weren't playing them, then, you know, you would probably, and it was a division thing. I mean, you would probably say, you know, give me the divisional, let the guy in my division lose. But I don't know. I'm kind of looking at the draft pick myself because I didn't think this was a playoff team to start the year, but might be wrong about that.
You sold me. That was a good sell, Brian. Well, I like that. You factor in the draft pick. You get Washington twice. You can make up ground on them. I still like, because I've always thought easiest path to the playoffs is obviously you win your division.
Right.
So the more L's your divisional opponents can take, I'm here for. But I don't know how many L's the Packers are going to take this year. And Washington, I do think, is a good team and is going to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. So this could be one to hopefully drop them a couple slots in the draft. And then maybe the Cowboys can take it. They beat them once last year. They almost did it the second time.
Where are the Cowboys in your NFC power rankings? Like, give me your top five NFC teams right now. I would go Green Bay, Philadelphia, Minnesota. And now I'm stuck. I don't know how many really good teams there are. I think this conference is there for the taking. But Green Bay's
don't
one, Philadelphia's
Tampa.
Two.
I think
Tampa and the Rams I've got up
yeah,
there.
Tampa yeah, Tampa and the Rams are in there.
Tampa
for
Rams.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's 3 and 4 for you. Then maybe Minnesota 5. The Cowboys are a candidate for 6th, aren't they?
Absolutely.
I really don't know how good Philadelphia is. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I might slot Philly behind the Rams personally.
I kind of feel like that. Why, if all of a sudden the Commanders find a way to win tonight in Green Bay, I would kind of think I would put them ahead of Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, I would. That secondary looked bad, and their pass rush.
What, the Eagles?
Yeah, and look, Za'Darius Smith, maybe that can help them a little bit.
Yeah.
But they did not have a consistent pass rush, and that secondary looked like that's not going to get fixed.
I mean, I don't think Washington is good on either side of the line of scrimmage. It would be really hard for me to put the Commanders over the Eagles because of that. I don't think their secondary is good.
I wonder if the Commanders, and I know the Eagles quarterbacks won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's the quarterback. I wonder
Jayden Daniels better than Hurts.
I wonder if Daniels is right just right now. Just right now.
I would say
better than Hurts, and maybe he'll play better than Hurts. I know Hurts won a Super Bowl and all that, and last year he was really, really good in the Super Bowl. But I wonder if you just say right now, who is better between Hurts and
I'm sure Daniels is a better passer. I just don't know if the Hurts short yardage situation would give him a surge there in your rankings if you're breaking it all down.
Yeah, but if you look at the numbers from last year, the best fourth and short team was the Commanders. I mean, Jayden Daniels.
That's right.
Like, we were always talking about the tush push.
18 or something like that.
They were unbelievable with the way that he was able to just take the ball from under center and, yes, just beat everybody to the corner and go get 1 or 2 yards in a fourth or third and short situation. So, yeah, I think Jayden Daniels is, I mean,
just right now.
It's possible he's the best quarterback in the conference.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, like, I want to see it. Like, I want to see more of a sample size. But I do believe in him. And it sucks because he's playing for your division rival, and I want Washington to just be awful. But they did find their guy here. And it is, it would be a hard argument to say that he's not right now already the best quarterback in the conference, even with a very limited sample size.
Stafford.
I love right. Stafford.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Stafford and Baker, they'd be in the conversation. Hurts would be in the conversation. Goff at times, but like how different is Goff going to look this year without
wonder what Kyler
that
Murray's
offensive coordinator
do.
Pulling the strings?
No mention of Dak here, huh? That was an awful good week one. He looked like 2023 Dak, yeah, didn't he?
He did.
All right, Jadeveon Clowney did not get a deal done. He did do a physical.
Mm-hmm.
Josina Anderson said the Cowboys plan to continue to monitor the situation. I think the reason a deal wasn't done had to be either money or what that physical showed. As I talked about yesterday, watching his tape from last year, he looked at times stiff and upright, but everything about him as a football player is still so damn good that he can be one of the best run setting edges, run defending edge players, defensive ends, whatever you want to call him. He's effective, but I wouldn't have been surprised if the word was we just didn't like what we saw on the physical compared to what he was asking for. I don't think since he was on his rookie contract, he's made less than $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what he was asking for. I don't know what the MRI looked like, but I'm disappointed they didn't get him. I was hoping everything would check out yesterday and you could add this. He would have probably become your second best run-stopping defensive lineman. And, you would have been able to put out a group there with Nealon on one side, him on the other, and Clark and Osa in the middle that I think would have been pretty damn nasty. And they were already tough to run on to begin with. So I don't know where you guys are with it, but I guess I'm still holding out hope that this Clowney thing can come together or some other play. I do like the fact that they're bringing guys in, they're kicking the tires, and they're not resting on what they have, because I think if they really want to get in this fight, it's possible. As I just said, I don't know how good the NFC is this year. And, you have to have the urgency and the desire to do that. And, hopefully this is a sign that from now until the trade deadline, they're going to be active trying to find really good players, Brian.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering why now. Are you not, was this move made in the way of you're not happy with what you saw initially with Fowler?
Yeah.
Are you worried about putting too much on Ezeraku's plate?
Yes.
And is Sam Williams just going to kind of like be okay throughout the year?
Yeah, I think it's the same as Clark. Like, you've spent so long just not prioritizing run defense along your defensive line, and you need personnel moves to make up for it. So I would say, yeah, Fowler, easy. Sam Williams, there's not a great answer there against really good run teams.
And the signing of Peyton Turner hasn't really been a good one.
Yeah.
We looked at him and, Turner and Nealon as the two guys. Like, okay, those are kind of your run setters.
I think Nealon's got a shot.
I agree.
The other ones.
But Turner and the other three, I'm with you. Like, I don't know if they really want to stop the run. Fowler was a problem for you the other night. I think Ezeraku will end up being a good all-around player. He showed the ability to do that at Boston College.
It's funny, though, that how we've seen, like, him play in basically, three games, and it hasn't been a factor. Does that sound, am I being overly dramatic there?
No, I mean, I don't want to overreact to the two preseason games, because even talking with like Nick Harris over at Sean's, like Easy he was working on stuff, but
it sounds very like minor, the pitching and like a training and spring training.
Exactly. Don't
worry about the four
bad
home
outing,
runs.
But yeah. he was working on his command here. He's working on his 4-seam and his changeup. But it was annoying watching him against Mailata do exactly what kind of favors Jordan Mailata's game. And then when the fourth quarter comes around, there you see him attack the outside shoulder.
Yeah.
Where was that? Now, he is a guy, and when we got to talk with him in the 10 at training camp, like, he breaks down offensive linemen over the course of a game, and he prides himself in that, and that was evident on his tape. But, yeah, it's just tough for a rookie, maybe. They're looking at this like, I'd rather ease him into it. And Jadeveon Clowney's a guy that's proven. He's a proven commodity. I also don't think, like, I know Clowney's been out there, and fans were wondering, well, why in the world would the Cowboys now kick the tires on that? Him and DeMarcus Lawrence have been rivals since high school. They did not get along. They were both challenging to be the best player at South Carolina. And Tank always thought Clowney got favored over him. And he ends up being the number one overall recruit. Then he gets the number one overall draft pick. And he didn't really live up to that hype. And I think Tank's always kind of had a chip on his shoulder over that rivalry back and forth with Clowney. Well, now that Tank's not here, maybe that opens up the doors a little bit. You're not going to ruffle feathers in the locker room if you want to bring Clowney in. But I thought the addition would have been a good one.
Yeah, it would have. And there's still time to do it. I think a number of teams will be interested in
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Isn't there a rule like after a certain point in the season, it's not injury guaranteed contracts?
It's after week one.
Okay, so we're in that period of time. I think there's a number of players out there, including a couple of corners. I don't know. I guess Reddy Stewart is getting ready.
He's going to probably be your nickel is what's going to happen. So it's probably be Elam, Stewart, and then Diggs.
You previewed the Giants offense for us late yesterday at 6:20 there in the Krusty's corner after the Rangers game. Do you feel like the De'Ron Bland injury opens up a path to victory for the Giants?
Oh, I don't think necessary, because I think the Giants' offensive line will not allow them to throw the ball effectively like they need to. I think that, you know, guys like Neighbors and Robinson and that are good players. They just do not hold up very well up front. It's not just one guy. It's like four guys that struggle up there. So, yeah, I think Dallas needs to find a way to keep the pressure on by attacking that line.
Yeah, I think maybe earmark this game as a potential breakout for Azarakou, this offensive line. Quite a bit different than facing Mailata in week one and some welcome to the NFL moments. They are in the bottom of the first in Toronto, scoreless, as Gosman got through the Astros in
the
top. It is on MLB Network.
Okay,
we want to clip that on.
Yeah, I think we're watching Tampa and the White Sox go at it right now.
Huh.
I don't know why that would be the case. I would hope that we can.
Might be a regional thing, you say, Wolchuk? Yeah, because that Chicago-Tampa game is just in the fourth inning. Maybe we can hunt around and find something, or maybe they'll switch over when this game goes final. But I got it up on the GameCast, and I'll pass it along as we get developments. Look like
that the Space Network or Space TV, what do they call that thing the Astros are on? It's some kind of crazy name. You can turn on your mic off. And help that out.
It was their version of the Fox Sports Southwest thing. Yeah.
Looks like George Springer leads off the bottom of the first with a single. He's standing on first with Lukes in the batter's box and Guerrero Jr. on deck. We'll keep you updated throughout the day. Coming back with the G-Bag of the Day champ and Woolchuck's top 10, buddy. Where are you taking it?
All right, let's go through this morning news. Their top 10 Dallas Cowboys of all time. How'd they do? Do you agree that is next in the nation?
All right, welcome back, Nation. In the time since we went to break there, Toronto pushed two runs across. A little bit of chaos there in shallow right field between the second baseman and right fielder for Houston. It ends up dropping behind the Houston right fielder. And it's 2-0 Toronto with two outs, bottom of first. Dalton Varsho is up to bat. We'll get to Wolchuk's top 10 here in just a moment. We got to get to the G-Bag of the Day champion, though, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333, where there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius with the champ.
All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530. Replay the champ right about here. You caught it. You're so lucky. So lucky. This is day number two for this champion audio. We go to cowboys.com. Shout out to Mr. Broadus. Put in that work over there, Mr. Broadus.
Thanks, sir.
I had a phone call about you. I had a friend ask me about you today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was all good. It was all good stuff. Don't you be worried about that. Appreciate it was that, all sir. Good. He was concerned, but then I told him, don't you worry. Don't you worry. All right, the Cowboys break with Brian Broadus, Vach Lombardi, and Mrs. Amber Garcia. This is Cowboys break, and Vach was breaking it down.
Javonte pairs with them well because he's patient and he's physical. So the more Tyler's pound on you, like he gets to come behind you and then pound. There was this one play. Damn. There was this one. Boy. Ah. Ooh. That was this one play, boy. Boy, Javonte Williams. Boy, he just got up there and he dragged. Damn, boy, he just.
Man. He had another one today.
Did he?
Another one.
And we wouldn't let him get through it. He was trying to fight through it, and Derek Eagleton was back with us, and everybody, he just couldn't fight through it. He tried. but nobody would let him.
You know, sports will do that to you.
It's a minefield out here talking sports, isn't it?
It is.
All righty. G-Bag of the Day champion Vaughn will face the Challengers.
Pound on you. Nuts, bro.
It gets to come from behind you.
Come behind you. Yeah.
Wow.
Just pound on you like he gets to come behind you. And then
there he is, the champ. He'll face the Challengers coming up at 5:30. I think Reitma is going to be in for Lucius, who's on his way to Vegas. For Crawford and Canelo this week. Yeah,
fight of the century, allegedly.
Yeah, you fired up?
Yeah, Lucius hell yeah, I'm Vegas. Fired up. I'm fired up to go to Vegas for this fight. I like being in those environments, but traveling on this day has me a little nervous.
Yeah, I understand that.
Kind of superstitious. Yeah.
Yeah. And salute to you and all the veterans here on a 9/11. The great story of L.A. is signing up the day of after the towers were hit, right?
Yeah, I was in a fit of rage.
Understandable.
Signing on up. And they were closed that day, apparently, because somebody needed them. So I went back the next day. I was still fired up.
All hands on deck. All righty. It's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10. Here he is. He's back. The Wooly Bully.
All right, Lucius, just do me a favor.
What
tomorrow,
up,
make sure you get yourself the burger.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. They asked me if I had any fruit preferences. I said none.
Did.
Yep, they sure did on this time. Netflix and Turkey a la Sheik in them?
Yeah.
They're rolling out the red carpet.
Oh.
Turkey a la Sheik.
I promise you they have not seen a food order from media like yours.
Eric. They can't feed Eric.
Yeah, Eric, but I'm sure
that's why I wasn't allowed to go.
I'm sure you high-ended him a little bit.
I didn't look my nose down yet.
My food per diem in Vegas would need to be $1,000 for 36 right. hours.
It's expensive.
My God, $20 waters.
No, last time they brought the Shake Shack, but the Mayweather family.
Yeah, the Mayweather came through and ate it up.
They cleared it out.
Yeah, they sure did.
Poor Lucius, like, I'll get it, I'll go back. And then by the time Lucius was ready, there was nothing there.
There was nothing there but some buns. He pointed, it was some fries. Mayweather pointed at the fries. Like, you want them fries? Mm-hmm. Why, he's holding a burger, the last one. I'm like,
that is cool. It is so fun people watching and being that close to it, covering a fight.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've done one since Mayweather and Pacquiao. I think it was my last
one. That's a big one, too.
9 years ago, something like that, 10 years ago.
Mayweather, McGregor, all those are big.
Lucy, did you empty the bank account to get the T-shirt from the fight?
I will.
It probably.
I will be coming home with merch, 100%. You know, I don't play.
Nope.
Hats, T-shirts, you know I do.
All right, let's get to the top 10 Dallas Cowboys of all time. Now, the Dallas Morning News has put out their top 100 Dallas Cowboys ever.
We will go through. Who number 100 is? Just tell me.
Number 100?
Mm-hmm.
The one who just made the list.
Keith Davis.
You think it was? Keith Davis was good last night, wasn't he, with Bobby? Oh, my gosh. Number 100, LP Leducer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. You had Hellestray on there as well.
Long snappers, man. He played in a franchise record 253 consecutive games, did LP, from 05 to 2020. Sure, the most memorable one for me was the he moved the ball. Washington called him out. He said, hey, watch what he does pre-snap with that football.
Yeah.
Threw a flag, cost the Cowboys a game in Washington at FedEx Field.
Just bad guy.
I was about to say, can we go back?
Yeah, just a bad guy.
Is he really?
Yeah, bad guy.
Bad person.
LP?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. You were like kind of ranting on him, and I just thought I just kind of threw in there the bad guy bit.
Well.
Yeah. Not a good dude.
Is that long snapper rivalry coming out of you?
I was
about to say,
not
is there some envy with just
not
the way that his fingers were able to snap the ball?
No, he was much better at his job than I ever were, but I feel like I'm a better human being than him.
Huh. Wow. Bad teammate, or was it a teammate thing, or was it?
Not a good dude.
Are these off-air stories?
Yeah, off-air stories, yeah.
We'll get to those.
But
in
I just
break.
Went ahead and said it to the world, so.
No, I appreciate you being honest and vulnerable.
I'll regurgitate what you tell us off the air at 4 o'clock.
Perfect. That's good broadcasting right there. Jay Ratliff was 96.
That's my guy.
Man, isn't that low? Like, when Kenny Clark gets to become a Dallas Cowboy 2 weeks ago today, I'm thinking, is this the best all-around defensive tackle they've had since Jay Ratliff? That's how good Jay Ratliff was. Undersized, playing nose tackle in Bill Parcells' 3-4.
How about my guy Glover?
Leroy Glover was fantastic.
Is he on this list, I hope?
Glover, man, whew. 100 of these guys.
Oh, I need to go through them. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Your guy Brady James, LSU Tiger at 88.
Yeah, I saw Brady
here
the other day.
Amari was 85. How's Brady doing?
Doing well.
Tony Casillas, speaking of defensive tackles, was at 82.
Mm.
Greg Ellis was at 80 on this list. You brought up Chad Hennings, General, 78 for Chad Hennings.
Yeah, and Chad Hennings was great. I mean, some legendary stories of Hennings. I just think with this list, it's so difficult. Even from the very top, very subjective.
Oh, it's so subjective.
Are there any people from the 70s in this list?
Oh yeah, you got a lot.
60s.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's the entire catalog. Gosh, history.
Okay,
Leroy Glover, 68.
There you go. Thank you.
All decade team for the 2000s, earned 6 Pro Bowl berths, named 1 All Pro. And if we have issues with this,
best guy I ever recommend to sign.
He was phenomenal. Also undersized, to your point.
By far, yeah.
I think Hennings was the guy that stood up to Charles Haley. They fought famously.
That would make sense.
They fought famously. It's in a book.
That would make sense.
Because Hennings was a military guy, right?
Yeah. Air Force.
Yeah.
Flew tankers.
What a badass. Bill Bates at 64 on here.
Yeah.
Billy Bates. Yeah, it's my grandpa's favorite.
You're watching
player.
Him on kickoff. She's like, yeah. Somebody about to get lit. He'll go smack off.
Somebody's going to get cracked. Yeah. Pause.
Dez Bryant down at 63.
Damn.
Third in franchise history in catches and has the rookie record for catches in a game at 9.
That's ridiculous.
But 63 for Dez.
The top 3 receivers ever to play.
Yeah, I thought that was really low. You got Roy Williams, the safety, ahead of him at 61.
Yeah, you got all kinds of stuff ahead of Dez Bryant that's just tragically weird.
What are we doing? Tony Romo's down at 59 on this list.
Wow.
This was Hoyt, Moore, Jean-Jacques Taylor, Cal Lishaw, Sham, and John Wooten, former personnel executive of the Cowboys.
John Wooten would carry your 70s and 80s Cowboys. That would be okay. All right. They got somebody on there that knew how to vote.
I mean, Alvin Harper was at 50.
Oh, come on, man.
Better than Dez Bryant,
Alvin Harper? That's what they're saying. Wow. Better than Dez. Andre Girard at 49. Yeah, Mark Tuane down at 48.
Well, that's criminal.
Travis Frederick, 46 on the list.
This is rage bait. Yeah.
Zeke at 45. There's no way Zeke's over Dez.
No.
No. Not at all.
Three good years.
Bring Sham on and grill him about this.
I will in the pregame.
Yeah, that's a great topic.
Hey, tear him up.
Hey, Sham, I just want to piss you off.
I don't know if you watch these guys or not.
Sham, were you broadcasting when these guys were playing? What were you doing?
Now, a guy I will argue for to also be higher.
Who's this?
Eric Williams. 38.
He needs to be higher than that. I mean, he destroyed Reggie White.
You could say Eric Williams might be the most underrated Cowboy. People do not talk and give Eric Williams enough credit. Like, for the demise of that dynasty, Eric Williams having that car accident was a huge reason why. And it's kind of, it's talked about, of course, in the documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
Thomas Hollywood Henderson was at 35, Brian.
Tell you what, man, he was an incredible football player. I mean, a guy that size, his ability to run, they used to run reverses with him on the kickoff return. And he was hard to catch, hard to bring down guy.
214 said Jay Ratliff's son is playing for DeSoto Middle School right now. Look out for him because he's probably an absolute animal beast.
I believe it. He's probably terrifying. You had T.O. was at 30. CeeDee Lamb at 33.
T.O. better than Dez Bryant?
Not all time, yes.
So is Bobby Hayes, apparently. It's crazy.
As a Cowboy, no.
Yeah, not in a Cowboy uniform.
That 2014 Dez year was better.
Over Alvin Harper, man. What are we talking about bro?
I agree.
Clutch. My man was clutch deep.
Tyron Smith at 28 on the list.
Wow. How many other tackles you got?
Everson Walls was at 26. Harvey Martin at 25.
That's criminally low.
Witten down at 24.
Gosh.
Darren Woodson at 22, Brian Broadus.
Yeah, he should be at number 1.
And put Zeke at like number 8.
Yeah.
Watch. Unreal. Zeke. Primetime was right ahead of 40 at 21.
Wow.
Other honorable mentions.
They did that for a reason.
Yeah, that's odd to me.
21.
You know, that a short career like Dez apparently got punished as he's the 5th wide receiver mentioned. But then, you know, you have Dion in there.
Right. And who was dealing with that foot-toe injury for what, the last 2 years of his time as a Cowboy, barely played. Bullet Bob Hayes at 19.
He changed the game a little bit.
Zach Martin at 17.
Cool.
Leroy Jordan at 15.
First 21st century player, by the way, Zach Martin.
Like, Darren Woodson's the all-time leading tackler for the Dallas Cowboys.
And he's like 54? What is he?
22. And it's a great number, but come on. Oh, Drew Pearson at 14.
Jeez.
Rayfield Wright, 13.
Okay.
Charles Haley at 12.
Mercenary.
The playmaker Michael Irvin at 11, just on the outside of your top 10.
What? They're not going to give him the top 10 all-time Cowboys nod?
The playmaker set an NFL record with 11 100-yard receiving games in 95. The Pro Football Hall of Famer is a 5-time Pro Bowl pick, but didn't make the top 10 Dallas Cowboys of all time.
Yeah, that's
according to the Morning News.
I think it was heavily weighted to the past.
Number 10, we got...
I think personnel man kind of bullied the room.
Don't forget about my guys.
Yeah. These are champions.
He should have bullied the room, Dawson. For 20 years, they were one of the best.
Well, you let him bully you, and then when he leaves, then you change your list.
Now, okay, guys, what do we really think? Number 10.
Thank God Wooten's out of here. We change our list.
Yeah, when he goes and changes his diaper, you can all fix up your list.
He's got to switch the Depends out.
That was some respect for a man that was a personnel guy.
Respect your elders. Come on.
What are you doing over there?
Just having fun.
I thought it was a good joke. DeMarcus Ware, number 10.
Change your diaper.
Who? Troy Aikman at 9. Ware at 10. Aikman at 9.
Okay.
Tony Dorsett at number 8.
Ooh.
Sheesh.
That's kind of low.
Is he that good?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're saying he's better?
I think he's better.
Tony Dorsett was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Randy White, the Manster, at number 7.
Kind of felt like he's a top fiver.
Mel Renfro at 6.
Back in the day, man.
5 All-Pros, 10 Pro Bowls, 52 career interceptions, 2 Super Bowl wins.
He can cover him and Herb Adderley.
Chuck Howley at 5.
I got to get some Chuck Howley tape. He's 60s and early 70s, right?
Yeah, he was a Super Bowl MVP on the of a losing team.
Unreal.
Super Bowl 5.
Crazy.
Toronto scored again. They're up 3-0.
Only player ever to do that, Chuck Howley.
Go Jays.
Emmett Smith at 4.
Ooh.
Should be 1. Bob Lilly at 3. Mr. Cowboy.
Bob Lilly was good. I don't know. We got some others behind him that I might throw up in there.
Larry Allen at 2, as we talked in crosstalk with KNC.
Yeah.
But number 1, greatest cowboy of all time, according to the Dallas Morning News. 2-time Super Bowl champ. NFL Man of the Year. Nicknamed Captain Comeback and Roger the Dodger.
Yeah.
Roger Staubach coming in at number 1, greatest cowboy of all time. So, your top 10, Staubach, Allen, Bob Lilly, Emmett Smith, Chuck Howley, Mel Renfro, Randy White, Tony Dorsett, Troy Aikman, and DeMarcus Ware. I don't know how Michael Irvin isn't in that conversation.
I tell you what, I felt like the of the old guys they put in there, the old 70s cowboys, they put the right guys in.
They got
in
the right ones
they
in?
They got the right ones in there, yeah.
All righty. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Top 10 every afternoon, about 2:25 here on The Fan. Why the Cowboys didn't sign Clowney.
Ooh, that's a tease.
I think we got an insider report coming up. Krusty's Corner is about an hour away. He's going to look at the Giants defense for you. And we're back here. It's the G-Bag Nation of The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. And thank you to the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't think I've been pulling for the Toronto Blue Jays since the days of Joe Carter and Ricky Henderson coming over on a run-a-player situation.
Dave Steeb.
Late 80s, early 90s, back-to-back World Series champions. They're 83-62, and they lead the Astros of Houston right now 3-0 in the top of the third inning. So we're having fun scoreboard watching. Rangers have the day off, and their surge has been amazing. A beautiful late summer blessing, and it's just amazing it came after all of these injuries. So we're basking in that glory. But we have a little bit of a developing news situation. Is Brian Broaddus is going to give us the why on how Jadeveon Clowney got out of that building yesterday.
Yeah, we were kind of asking, you know, the questions of, you know, why would they do this or why would they do that, did it come down to, was it money, was it something, was what was getting in the way of potentially doing this? Cowboys wanted to sign Clowney. They absolutely did. Clowney's the one that made this decision.
Interesting.
He said he would like to wait.
Okay,
is what he did.
See if there's another offer.
It sounds like to me that he just, you know, the Cowboys said, hey, we would like to, yeah, let's do something here. And then he just told them that I'm gonna wait a little bit and kind of figure some things out, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, so he wants to see what else is out there on the market as far as money-wise, but that sounds like the physical had to be good.
Yeah, the Cowboys, the intent was to sign him up. Clowney was the one that decided that he would like to wait before that happens.
Okay.
So, still possibility that maybe he can circle back and say, I'm interested.
It's him. It's not the Cowboys. I mean, they're down. They're on board. Yeah. It's the player that made this decision. So yeah, I'm sure that now we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. They might get to a point like, we're good. You know, some of our guys are playing a little bit better, and and we'll just keep going forward there. But yeah, this one's on the player.
All right, Rangers 1.5 back in the wild card, 2.5 back of Houston. Just to finish that part up, why would you have to come in? I guess for the physical.
Yeah.
I would want to know if the physical is clean, how much are you guys going to offer me? I don't want to necessarily be flying all around the country. Maybe I'm just, not the biggest fan of flying. Some people don't have anxiety at all about it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
But I mean, anytime I'm getting ready for a flight, it's a countdown starting about 48 hours out, and then the anxiety really peaks on takeoff, and then I start thinking, like, last summer I flew to Vegas and almost had that wing strike. The pilot had to take back off. I think ever since that moment, anxiety might have tripled. How are you with it, Lucius? Are you good? Are
you
good
on flying? I was fine. So you just said that right there.
See?
I just told Carter, I said, see right there.
My bad. I should have waited. Because
Carter said earlier, it's a flight to Vegas. It should be good. Nothing goes wrong. I'm like, don't test fate, man.
Well, it's that, I mean, you got those mountains in that hot air.
I was trying to be positive.
So you lied to me, basically.
Lucius, I hate flying over. I hate flying to Vegas. Especially this time of year. It's hot.
Those mountains that you get the shakes on that plane.
Yeah, and it's all of a sudden you fly through the corner there. You got to catch the corner of Arizona and you fly over the Grand Canyon and the heat coming out of the canyon and it the heat rises and it throws the plane all over the place. Yeah. Flying over Arizona sucks. And it's worse trying to land in Vegas when you're flying in all the wind through the mountains there and stuff like that. That airport's bad too because it's hotter than heck, and once again, heat rises.
That is a hell of an opinion to have when you just told me an hour ago it'll be fine.
I was trying to.
You were gaslighting me, sir.
Lucius, I just wanted you to be assured that you were going to have a great trip.
I got some Dramamine. I'm going to take 2 shots of tequila and be out like a light.
That's exactly. I don't do the tequila, but I do the Dramamine for sure. I got Eric on it. We were riding around in limos in Vegas.
Yeah,
with Dramamine.
Those things tore me up, dude.
Yeah, sick.
Eric just taking like a little recreational drug.
We're riding in the car going backwards. We were seated backwards and like getting sicker than a dog. I mean, the motion sickness was a problem.
The reaction coming in off the text says that morning news list is a problem there on the outside of the top 10. Michael Irvin at 11, D-Ware at 10. I mean, is there any doubt that if you're starting a football team, you're taking Irvin over D-Ware?
I don't think there's any doubt, and I have all the love and respect in the world for DeMarcus Ware.
Man, they were taking one pick apart. I think one was taken at 10 and the other was taken at 11, if you look overall.
Yeah, I think some people are taking offense just to a champion of that status, of that leadership, of that iconic status being outside the top 10. I'd probably agree with that. And I have all the respect for D. Ware's game. Is he the best pass rusher we've ever had?
Well, I could go back to Harvey Martin myself.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Harvey Martin better than D. Ware?
Harvey Martin was really good. Now, Dawson.
I got to check out that tape, too.
He played in an era where he had a 265, 270-pound offensive tackle. But his ability to – he was really disruptive. I mean, like he would take blockers and just throw them aside, and he had the ability to chase down guys. If you go back, you want to watch one game, go watch him play him and Randy White playing the Super Bowl against Denver in 1977. It's incredible what those guys did in that game. They almost killed Craig Morton, the former Cowboy quarterback for the Broncos that day.
All righty. KNC had a really interesting topic as I was driving in today.
What are you laughing about over there, Chief?
That's damn good analysis right there. They literally almost killed a former Cowboys quarterback.
They did.
They were so dominant at what they did.
They were. They
114 sacks.
They were tackling around the head. They were hitting him in the head and the face area and stuff like that. This is the era when they used to just they didn't
care. Quarterback was just
there was never a roughing the quarterback call at all. They literally were tackling him around the head.
That Dick Butkus style?
Yeah.
He's going to jump on your head and pull you down by your helmet.
Very reminiscent of what George Pickens did the other day trying to block. Very similar.
Yeah, when men were men back there and CTE wasn't a thing.
Yeah, and bad helmets, man. We had some bad helmets back in the day.
KNC asks, can you see the Giants beating the Cowboys? And Krusty's going to preview the Giants defense coming up for us at 3:40. Maybe we'll advance that conversation. We have a baseball guest coming up here at the top of the hour. And what would it mean if they would lose? I think both
0-2 in the division.
I mean,
start working on the draft.
Yeah, it'd be really, really bad.
Yeah, it's over.
I would be.
I mean, not even CY could convince Brian at that point that they have a playoff chance.
No, that would be an issue.
Jerry ain't going to fool me on this one. I'll ride with CY.
I'm so confident they're not losing to the Giants. They just don't. Dak Prescott doesn't lose. He has not lost to the Giants since his rookie season. Yeah. They are going to destroy them. And the line's down to 4.5 points. Take it. Cowboys are covering this thing. They're winning by double digits. Book it. That's can write that in 3-inch headlines in the morning paper.
Guess what? If there's a loss, it's going to be one of the most fascinating post-game shows we've ever been a part of.
It's going to be bad.
With the attitude that Wolchek just showed,
I'll be stunned. Lose,
watch the rage that happens from him.
He'll be firing people all over the Dallas Cowboys radio network.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the Cowboys looked like a wild card team in week one. If the Giants beat him, I think it totally blows up that idea. It says the Eagles were rusty. It says the Jalen Carter absence and the penalties. Yeah. The penalties Philly was committing. I think Georgia Bulldogs gave you 90 yards by themselves.
Please don't lose the game. Please don't lose this game.
I think
I will lose my mind.
To draw up how it would happen, you got to lose the turnover battle by two. You got to be able to not stop their run. But even then, you would have to have a low scoring game. Now, I bring that up because last year, the Cowboys only scored 20 in the game that they played. The previous year, they combined to score 89 points. In 2023, they hung 49-40 on the New York Giants. But last year was a little bit different.
How many Cooper Rush games did we get from that? Did he?
Just one.
Just one?
Yeah. Dak had the 20-point game. I don't know what Cooper Rush did against him, but. I'm believing in the run game. Some really cool stats last night on the run win rate efficiency of this football team. The Clayton Adams effect is real.
I think the biggest one is just looking at 59% success rate running the football. And this is not, we have a quarterback that's running and kind of boosting our numbers a little bit. No, this is just straight up handing off the football, and 60% of the time it was a successful run. That would be far and away the best in the league.
That 240, at 340, that's what I'm going to talk about. How committed are you going to be to running the ball? Because it'll affect how well they rush the passer. I believe that when you start to talk about with Brian Burns.
Sure.
And Thibodeau and Carter running at them softens them up as pass rushers.
Yeah.
And I think part of it too is, I mean, mostly credit to the offensive line and Clayton Adams, Connor Riley, and the plan that they've put together and the team building aspect of investing in the offensive line. But the addition of George Pickens and what that forces defense to do.
Stan Ford as a blocker at the point of attack.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys blocking for sure. But, I mean, these defenses now are going to give you opportunities to run the ball because – Pickens Lamb combination, and then Dak spinning it the way he did the other night, striking fear into you. So you should have great opportunities to run the football.
And then on the other side, I don't think one game is enough to confirm that you've got a handle on this run defense. If I'm New York, I'm thinking we're going to unload whatever we have to try to get yards on the ground. Yeah, and then we have to bring up a Stewart and Elam. I mean, those could be busted coverage big plays. Russell Wilson can throw the long ball.
Yeah, but the thing about it is their offensive line can't get movement. They can't, even when they combo block. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, Tracy trying to run the ball. Scadaboo, I wouldn't be surprised if Scadaboo played more in this game, but they had more plays that were contacted at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. I think it's going to be really hard for them to run the
football. But that's against Kinlaw and Payne, right? I mean, Washington has good tackles.
I think Dallas is. You know, if you
they
start
a good tackle now,
Clark and Osa puts us in that game.
Mozzie played well against John Michael Schmitz. Those were probably two of his best games.
That's their biggest problem, Dawson. Nice. It's John Michael Schmitz. That's their biggest problem.
Okay, we got 1 hour down, two to go. If you want to catch a full review of that Giants offense, hit the Odyssey app and go back to last night at 6:20. Brian in Krusty's corner there gave you a full breakdown. He'll look at this Giants defense again coming up at 3:40. It's Pat Leonard, Giants beat writer. My bad. New York Daily News, host of the Talking Ball podcast. He's going to join us coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.